Welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. My name is Dylan Doherty, and in this podcast series, I will be speaking to investors, advisors, entrepreneurs, and recruiters who are based all over the world, and we will be discussing how to set up, scale, and operate a world-class recruitment company. Today, I'm speaking to Chris Revel. He's been on the podcast before. He is the founder of the Growth Hacking Recruiters Facebook group, and he's a bit of a know-it-all. So he's a great guest, and I wanted to ask him why I'm so rubbish at sourcing people and what I can do to be a better recruiter and what I can do to scale what I have to get better results. So we kind of went into the detail a little bit. We didn't always agree, but that's what this is for. This is, you know, there's no right or wrong answers, but he definitely knows his stuff, and really enjoyed having him on the podcast again. Some of the stuff that that we get to discuss is just brilliant, and he's definitely one of the best guests that we've had on the podcast. So hope you all enjoy, and you know where to find Chris if you need to look him up, and that is the Growth Hacking Recruiters Facebook group. All right, enjoy it. Happy hunting. Community builder, sourcer, thought leader, public speaker.
Oh, thought leader. Oh, no, definitely not.
Are you not a thought leader?
No, I definitely am not. I'm a thought provoker.
Thought provoker. Is Hung Lee a thought leader?
Yeah.
And so that's different territory, is it? Does thought leadership come after you have put out so much content, like after so much conversation you just end up getting married?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think you can be a thought leader until you've actually led something and built something.
There you go. That let's leave that one right where it's parked for now. Right, what are we going to chat about? We're going to chat about sourcing, because I'm rubbish at it and I hate it. And here's the crack, right? You join a big agency. They have a database. It's coded. We kind of know that. A lot of those have been got from, you know, inbound over the years. And, you know, it's through job ads and all the rest. And you put them on and you recycle them. And you kind of do all that jazz with them. And then you go and set up a recruitment agency. And you kind of have to that, and you try and build that up, and maybe you don't code it just as well, and then it kind of falls by the wayside. But you're not that type of guy, so how can I be a better person? Talk to me about what we can do when we're starting out an agency in terms of, or I think you used the word, which I thought was a bit wanky, sourcing architecture.
Yeah, sourcing architecture is a bit of a wanky word. I kind of made that one up on the spot, I think. I think talent tech, though, and a talent tech stack, right, that's quite an important thing to think about. Because actually, right, your value add as an agency is the data that you have access to and the relationships that you have. So, like, that's what you what can you do that I can't do when I'm working in house or when I was working in house? Well, you had conversations with 1,000 recruiters, whereas I've been working on, I don't know, PHP roles for the last year, right? Building the PHP team, and now I need to scale my recruitment team like that. So I need you to have had those conversations and have those relationships. And I think that's where, like, the talent tech stack that you have is really, really important, because you need to understand that, like, the data that you have, if you don't own it, it's not yours. If you haven't kept a track of all those conversations, they didn't happen. And that's basically, like, that's, you don't need to do any sort of... Oh, I've got like a bazillion things. I'm trying to dump all my things as well.
I told you this before. You just hold the phone and use it to your ear and mouth, and we will not have that happen. Are you going to do what you're told now?
Yeah.
So before we got cut out there, I'm going to try and edit that a little bit. You said that the sourcing piece, you don't need to if you know your data.
Yeah, because exactly. Because if you're an agency, you know where the talent is, when they want to move, where they're at in their career, and you know what they're looking for as well.
How do you know that?
Because you've already had the conversation with them.
What if you haven't had the conversation?
This is when you actually are doing sourcing. Like sourcing, as defined by Glenn Cathy, is identification, attraction, and conversion, right? You find someone, the right person, from whatever signs you can get, and then you warm them up and you sell them the job and then you qualify them into the job, right?
So you go to the bar, you see a pretty girl.
Yeah.
You buy her a drink.
You don't buy her a drink first, right?
So you have a conversation and then you buy her a drink?
Well, you show her that you make sure that you look attractive at the bar first and foremost. You know, you chat with the other friends. Maybe, you find out that your friend actually knows that girl, so you get an introduction. Works way better than just walking up to her. Do you get introduced, and then you have a nice little warm conversation, and then you say, well, yeah, this is going well. Maybe I'll buy, would you like me to buy a drink, or should we do that another time?
Oh, another time. Okay. All right. You would give an out already from there. You wouldn't look at them dead on in the eyes. And
I don't know. You're Irish. that depends on what kind of bloke you are. But either way, like if you're trying to convert, I think one of the things that people forget is that you're trying to convert from like conversation one to getting into bed, straight away. That's too fast. It's too fast for anything. Like no, that's it's not all. I mean, it works sometimes, but you're pushing your limits down like so hard, right?
Mm.
I'm trying to think of when I was like 22. That probably worked like 1% of the time.
Yeah, you had enough energy to try it 100 times. So
yeah, you're not going to try 100 times in the night. Why not just have the conversation, get a number, and then oh, I've got to go back to my mates now.
So let's bring this back to it's day one, right? I've set up my agency. I've just left Hayes or Robert Walters or S3, where they were taking care of everything for me. And I thought I was king of the world. I thought I knew it all. But I've just realized that actually there's some holes in my game. What would you tell that person as a step-by-step process to set themselves up for success in terms of their database, their sourcing architecture, and their technology, etc.?
So I don't think it necessarily needs a huge amount of investment to begin with. I think you can do this with really, really simple tools like Google Sheets and Zapier, for example. That's the growth hacker in me, right? Like just wanting to do everything for free. What I do think you need to understand is the principle that it's your data and you need to own that data. So you need to, if you've got relationships on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, wherever that might be, you need to extract that data out of there and put it into somewhere where you can easily sort it, get to the candidate quickly and get to understanding what they want to do quickly and so on and so forth. And you just start having those conversations with them. You start, instead of going, hey, I've started my agency, I want to recruit you, why don't you just say, hey, I've started my agency, do you mind if I get in touch with the right jobs at the right time? It's classic, like, agency pitch, mate. I'm sure it's old. So I don't have a job right now for you, but do you mind if I get in touch with you? I'm going to put you in my CRM. So, what, like 90% of people say, yeah, sure, I'm always going to be interested in a better job. Cool, what kind of salary would you be looking for?
Not all people say that. Lots of people just don't answer.
So if people aren't answering, I think that's marketing, and that's how you write and copywriting and like how you socially engineer that person to talking to.
Okay, like, so let's take it back a step. So you're talking about Google Sheets and Zapier.
Mm-hmm.
What's the APR for? Because most, like, you're a nerd, you'll know it. Most people won't be in the detail.
So Zapier is an app that links other apps and allows them to talk to each other.
So translate that to what that means for Johnny the IT recruiter who's sitting in his bedroom.
So every time you put a new row in the spreadsheet, it would automatically send them an email saying, hey, you've just been put on this on my spreadsheet, and I've got X, Y, and Z data with you. Would you be interested in having a conversation with me?
Okay, all right. And does that result in positive outcomes for it?
Yeah, because you're being honest and transparent.
Okay, all right. And then you have Google Sheets, but most people will use an ATS. Do you advise on any particular ATS out there?
I think, I don't know.
That's cool.
That's a massive question. Like, it completely depends on what you want, what you're used to. You've got to remember, I've worked mainly in-house, so for the last few years, so I've been using, like, I've used some pretty massive enterprise solutions, and I've used some super lightweight ones. My go-to is Workable most of the time. Sometimes it depends on how much money I've got to spend as well. And then I think that for recruiters, I think, like, there's not very many good CRM ATSs that are well-built. I think Bullhorn is the one, like, everyone talks about. They own the market, right?
They're so horrible.
Is it? I haven't used it.
It's good. Like, but say if you go in with them and then you try and extract your data from them, they just make it impossible.
Yeah, I think that's important to remember, that it's your data and it's your relationships, right? Like, you've got to get it out of wherever it is and put it in something that you own. This Facebook group that I've got, the Growth Hacking Recruiters, one of the massive mistakes we made at the beginning is we didn't, like, start this data collection process.
So how are you going about it now?
We thought about scraping the group. We thought about a couple of things that we could do, and there's definitely some things that we were thinking of. But what we realized is that we want to keep it ethical. So we're just adding value all the time to what people get from the group. So if you... when you join the group, you're asked a bunch of questions. If you put your email address in at that point, if you answer two of the three questions and you don't put your email address in, we still let you in the group. If you don't answer any questions, we don't let you in the group. We just decline you. Hmm. And what happens is 90% of the time, those people come back because they just answer the questions the second time.
Fair enough.
When they give us their email address, we send them a 5-email little marketing course on growth hacking.
Oh, I don't know if I received any of that.
Because it wasn't built, right?
There you go. I probably wouldn't have read the email, though. I'm not that type.
But the email points you back into the group and to keep on interacting in the group and keep on contributing in the group. That's one of the behaviors that we're interested in.
I'm actually even struggling to keep up with the amount of content that's coming out through that group. I'd actually need to sit down and go through things from... it would take quite a while to catch up. Actually, it seems like there's good stuff coming out every day. Now, let me ask you a question.
That's the thing. Like, so the second piece is, how do we get everyone to opt in onto our email marketing list? So we're going to do that digest for you, because I know there's too much content in the group. That's the way I designed it. There's too much stuff coming out all the time.
There is.
So I'm just going to curate a list, and we were talking about this, like, not a recruiting brain food, but like just a monthly, like, email of, like, this is all the, these are the top viewed posts. This is what, like, the top commented posts are. Like, this is, like, what you're going to, this is, you know, this is the interesting stuff that happened, so that you can read it and learn what you need to learn from January.
Very good. That's why I should probably do the same for my podcast in terms of a monthly newsletter.
You should do it. All of the recruiters you talk to, if you've got these 4 LinkedIn accounts and you're constantly talking to these people, you need to say, do you want to hear all the latest, coolest tricks in recruiting? Do you want to hear, you want to be on top of it? I'm doing the job of curating a podcast. I'm doing the job of being on top of these groups. I'm doing that job. Like, that's what I'm doing. What I can do for you and help you advance in your career, even if you don't talk to me today, is you just opt into this email list. And you start sending them that monthly email. And what you're doing is you're just building trust.
That's a good point. This RecDirect stuff's different, though. I, you have to see what it's like trying to recruit recruiters. They only ever respond on their terms if they're interested, and it's rarely they're interest. Like, so many of them aren't interested in the broader things that happen in the industry. And the sad thing is, they're the most valuable people.
That's good, because you know that, right? You know that those are the best top bidding recruiters. They know how to bid already, right? So, like, so you need to curate content that they need, and be the one that they go to when they're looking for a job.
So let me break this down, because I haven't explained this to everybody. So I suppose currently we have my account, which is 30,000, Charlotte's account, which is 30,000, and Arena and Andrea are around the 12,000 mark in terms of first level connections. Mine and Charlotte's would probably have legacy oil and gas and IT people from our previous life. And the girls have clean, good LinkedIn accounts that have good first connections, probably a bit more newer connections. Myself and Charlotte aren't allowed to add any new people to our system to from LinkedIn. They've put a wee ban on us. And the other two girls can. So I suppose a lot of new people, we get LinkedIn Helper to work on the girls' accounts to build that up and all the rest. Now, how can I get more sourcing done to, like, I see it as a numerical game. The more people we speak to with the right question, the more chances are that the right person will be funneled to a call with myself.
That's the same as a call center that you just doing it in sourcing at the top of the funnel.
But we don't just do that. I mean, that's one thing. Like, I hate the call center thing because I didn't like doing it. But let me tell you, if I could have a team of call center people making calls, that would be great. You know, I believe in using every weapon that you have, whether that's media, social media, calls, or messaging to make things happen, whether it's organic or it's pay-per-click. Like, I don't think we should just do one thing. Do you not think that there's a numbers element to everything we do?
I think you're right, but I think you should diversify channels, not get more messaging. And I think you should be pushing to build better content that recruiters will make them trust you better. Like this podcast, man. Like, this podcast makes me trust you because you're being honest and you're authentic. Like, build stuff that, like, that recruiters are going to be like, oh, that's really great, I really need to know that. Like, writing a CV for a recruiter is a pain in the ass because you're just like, oh, I've seen so many crap CVs. Like, how do I write a good one? Why don't you have, like, the course for free where you, like, you know, you review recruiter CVs?
We had a resume writing business before, you know, that we used to do. But Charlotte then decided to have children, so we don't do that anymore.
Way, like, of helping, like helping the niche and generating trust and help for people, and the more I think about it, like, you've got all this data in LinkedIn, you need to get it out of LinkedIn into your own database and just email everybody.
So I did take out remember you could download the emails and that. I did do that, hashtag GDPR.
After that,
what did we do? Well, we used to send out emails, but I suppose my problem before was I felt I wasn't creating good enough content to be sending people emails, and now I'm doing a podcast today, so there's an unbelievable amount of content that I have to do. But then I'm going to have to spend a lot of time writing is the next piece, and maybe doing a monthly email on that. But I suppose that's just the next stage of it.
What you got to think about your holy grail here, right? What you really, really want is to never have to source again. That means that if you're looking for someone who wants to move into New York in February, and that's because that's when their end of year bonus hits, and you want them to be working on oil and gas, you can go, you can look at that and you can find those people immediately. And that's what real like talent pool is. And the sourcing is just activating the people and qualifying them into that talent pool. Right?
See, that sounds real easy. I just dealing with these recruiters, they're very whimsical. They kick a lot of tires, and when we get them in an interview, then great. But it's tough to do that, and there's such a small window even to activate it. And I have loads of good processes in place, but if I had, I could place somebody every day if we had the candidate, if we had the reach.
And I think you've got to think beyond your 30,000 connections on LinkedIn and start thinking, why don't you have 100,000 recruiters following you? And I think if you want to do something like that, you've got to go and look at the other people that have that in the RecDirect space. And one of the people...
Who has that in the RecDirect space?
The Hunted app. Have you heard about them?
Yeah, I have. But look, you mean that's a machine. Like, they have 5 content writers. It's very hard to... like.
But this is startup mode, man. Like this is what you and me we're doing. We've got to do the stuff today, lay the foundation, so that we can hire the 5 content writers.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think I'm with you. It's very hard to compete with Hunted
as well, right? You're the king of outsourcing. You can hire my agency to do your content for you.
You never made a proposition to me on that.
Because I'm too booked up.
How much does it cost? You won't tell me on air, I know that.
It depends.
Yeah, that's a good answer, yeah. Lots of money is the short answer.
Because I know it works. I know that like content is where you scale brand. And it's something I learned. And, you know, we were talking about this, like, was it with you? Yeah, I was talking about this, robots scale my personality.
Explain what that is.
I wrote a Facebook bot, which sounds like me, in a tool called ChatFuel, which is really, 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 really easy to use, and it's free. And if you go on my Facebook page and start talking to it, it sounds like, and you follow it instead of like just start writing at it. It feels like you're having a conversation with it.
Really?
Because it's my personality. I wrote the copy. So, like, it says weird things and uses strange words.
It has that kind of eurocratic accent that's hard to define.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Tell me, how can we, when are we going to get bots that'll go into LinkedIn? Or is it our job to take the data out of LinkedIn and to market against that data on Facebook and use a bot to do that? Is that what your thinking is?
Yeah, I think you need to get your data out of LinkedIn. I think a lot of people think, and me as well, like, this is a problem that I'm facing. Like, I've got 12,500 connections on LinkedIn, and I probably talk to about 10 of them.
Yeah. You're not connected to me, by the way.
I saw that, yeah. I can't connect to anybody new.
No, neither can I.
Well, I can if I've got an email address. What I'm doing is that, like, how do I build? And some of these people I know really well. Like, some of them I just haven't had time to speak to. How do I have conversations with them? How do I tell them what I'm up to? How do I sell them the products that I'm going to be releasing, or like the campaigns? The thing is, right? Like, I don't even need to do outbound because the business is already running at full capacity. So I'm not even like, my problem is I just need to like download it, put it in an email list, start emailing them, but that's shit because I hate like...
I don't even know what your business is. What is it?
We do growth hacking for recruitment agencies and HR tech companies.
You say that like you're saying something bold. Like,
it's a marketing agency.
Okay, so you've got a marketing agency that does growth hacking for recruitment agencies and internal teams, or...?
Yeah, we do some internal teamwork. We do some competitive intelligence. I went down the road of trying to, and we help startups build teams. We do outsource sourcing. We have like 6 clients running at the moment. And I think we just closed a new one today. So I think that's it now until the end of Q1.
Is it just you? Is it
I have a dev and I have a contractor base.
And are you the main person or are you partners or?
It's my company.
It's your company. Okay, great. God, we got there in the end, eh?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're a recruiter?
I'm building like so many things, right? I don't want to define it too much because I want to be able to pivot. And I have lots of ideas and I feel like, and this is like, you know, when you do business courses, they tell you don't try and break the mold, do the stuff that works.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at that. I like to disrupt everything. So I should have probably, some of the things I've learned is I should, you know, stick to what is standard agency model or standard sourcing business model. But we haven't done that. We've picked up projects and now we've got all sorts of different projects and we're looking at what we like doing and what's winning and what's not winning.
Okay. So what type of stuff do you do for agencies then? And like, are you talking about boutique agencies or?
Yeah. So an agency, they have terrible content. They have zero inbound. How do we switch on their inbound? And we'll go in and do their inbound for them and we'll build them a strategy. And we'll train their team to do it, and we'll build them the back-end system.
Very good. How do you, like, what are those steps look like?
That's specialists in agency websites.
Sorry, you just cut out there. What was that?
So you're building your new website, for example. I've got a developer who's a specialist in building agency websites.
Who do you use?
Yeah, and we integrate with CRMs, and we can do all sorts of fancy stuff and put bots in it and...
Yeah, we're building a website, but I think it's going to be more of a branding tool rather than a jobs portal.
Mm-hmm. I think you want to get the jobs portal on there as well. I think you have to because you have to look at the competition, and your competition is someone like Hunted, and they've got a jobs portal.
Well, they are a jobs portal though.
They're a different marketplace.
They're not really though. Let's be honest. They're definitely not. Like they're a jobs portal that a jobs portal that has RectorX working on the back end. If their digital marketplace worked, they wouldn't have RectorX on the back end. That's my view on it.
So is Hired.com and Indeed Prime. They also have they have recruiters working on the back end.
Yeah, well, there you go. Like, I mean, you sell a good story about technology, but at the end of the day, you know, they're still grabbing all the leads, making calls and trying to place people and charging fees. They're not just, you know, that they're a clever business. I take my hat off to them. He did his homework. They both came from the industry. They did RectorX for years. And they got a jump on that. But look, it's just a job page with some RectorX really.
And I, going back to that thing about wishing that I wasn't like always trying to disrupt things, what is wrong with starting a business that is just a job board?
Yeah, nothing. No, nothing. I tell you, the first time I saw their business, I thought, that's it, we're done. Because when we started, not many people were doing international stuff. And then they give away all the information. And they were like, oh, wow, we have to actually get good at this now. And so we did. We got good at it. But I was definitely like, I had loads of ideas and then I was like, oh no, they've got to jump on this. But if anything, there's more RectorX starting up every week. Mm. So they haven't dominated the marketplace like I thought they would. So yeah, I don't know.
And that's because of the human bit, right? Like you always got to have humans to hire humans. You've got always got to have these conversations. So if when you think about sourcing and how you scale your sourcing, the best way to scale sourcing is just sort out the data in the back end. So that you do, because everyone that tries and scales a sourcing team ends up hiring 1,000 sources. Look at Facebook, for example. Facebook have bazillion sources that work there. And they hire their recruiting team by throwing more and more sources at the problem. They haven't hired it by, so they've got their own bespoke systems. They've got their own dev teams. They've got everything. They've got their own ATS. They've got all of that kind of kit on the back end. But they still, to scale the hiring, they put more and more sources. They hired more and more sources. I think in London that year, that like a couple of years ago, they hired like 300 sources.
Yeah, I know. But from an agency perspective, like you should be able to make 150% on your hire. So whether that's just a sourcer or that's a more expensive 360 recruiter that comes in. So it's tried and tested.
Recruiters these days. I think good sources are more expensive than a 360 degrees recruiter.
Really?
Yeah, the best sources in the world, they're on crazy money, man.
That's the best sources in the world.
I would want a six-figure package at Indeed, you know, like in-house. So I think the real sources are the guys that can scale the human interaction and build the systems to do that.
But that's a whole different ball game. I think just like you could get a VA and teach them how to do basic sourcing on scripts on all the rest, and just become an appointment setter for you. Like that's a version of sourcing, isn't it?
That's a resourcer.
So is there a difference between a resourcer and a sourcer?
Yeah, I think so. I think the sourcer is the real headhunter. He's the one that can go out there and like actually find the person that isn't on LinkedIn. Find the person that isn't on LinkedIn and convince them to come and work in your company. Like he's not just trawling LinkedIn filters and sending crappy template messages. He's the one with a 95% response rate that's actually like having conversations and building brand and long-term relationships. And that's why talent pooling is so important for good sourcing teams. And the data behind it is so important because that relationship and those conversations needs to be captured so that next time you hire that role, you've got your list of people to go for.
For sure. Still doesn't work for rec to rec though.
I think you've got to stop thinking about rec to rec. I think you've got to start thinking about I'm Dalton Doherty. I am the recruitment startup podcast guy. I have my brand in the industry. I'm got a million views on LinkedIn. Like I'm growth hacking my business. Like and you've got to stop thinking about I'm in this rec to rec space. Start adding values to those recruiters, even the ones that don't need you to add value.
Well, we are doing that. We can only place a very small percentage of agency recruiters out there. So, you know,
if you help every single agency recruiter, then the small percentage gets a tiny bit bigger, right?
Sure, and that's the thought.
Gary V is only he's got a $170 million agency, but if you think about it, like the value that he adds to get millions and millions of followers on YouTube is mass market value. Every entrepreneur, every startup, every SMB, every person who wants to grow goes and ends up listening somewhere along the line to some Gary V or some Grant Cardone or some, you know, one of those motivational thought leaders.
They've been down the rabbit holes, yeah.
Yeah, and you listen and you read their books and you know and you kind of and so he might sell a book, and that makes him $3 or $4, right? If that. Like, but he does it at such scale that it works. And I think if you're like, I can only help this many recruiters who want to move internationally, that's my niche, doesn't mean that you can't help every other recruiter get better.
And that was the penny that dropped to set up the podcast and to do that was because our content was just getting boring and it was just the same old thing. But it's actually kind of made me think that maybe we could be the international recruiters and help people move countries across different disciplines, not just rec to rec. So maybe
I think
that's...
You should blog about that. You should blog about like what it's like to move country. What do you need to do when you move country? Like when you move to New York, what do you need to do once you get there? Like how do you succeed to become a recruiter when you get there? What do you need in terms of tax? Like
it's funny you mention that. Yeah, obviously, we're going there at the end of the month, and I've done some podcasts already. So I'm thinking, I don't know what you think about this, but we're getting a videographer to follow us around New York for 2 days, myself and Charlotte. Charlotte's coming back from into the business after having two kids in 2 years.
Nice.
And we're going to interview some recruiters that we placed there, some that we know, and we're going to go into a few WeWork offices where some of the agencies are based. We've got probably 5 or 6 agencies lined up. We're going to try, because I've done a lot of long form podcasts with people, we're probably going to try and do about 15 standard questions on those topics that you mentioned. So then we can create different content. So we can try and maybe do our first Facebook ad based on that, like how to get an apartment in New York, how to, like, what do you need to know about the visa? What do you, like, all those stuff that you just said as well.
What about meeting Gary Vee?
What about meeting Gary Vee? It's very hard to do that, isn't it?
No, just send him a message on Instagram.
Well, do you know what? Actually, here's what I'm going to do. I'll do a little video on it and I'll post it. I'll get a little support on it from our little growth hacking group.
Do it. I think they'd love it. It's a great idea.
And then that'll be my little bit of homework from this conversation.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing, and film it.
I'll film it. So marketing. So get the data out, put it in. Yeah. It's hard, you know. I feel at times quite hamstrung with RectorRec, I have to admit. It's a different beast to other areas.
I think you should diversify that client base as well, mate. I think you should build the relationships with the recruiters and then, you know, do in-house recruiters are hard to hire as well. There's half of those people that you're talking to will want to go in-house. Like, just find a couple. I think you should, like, if you get the data right and you can turn around to a client and say, I know that there's X number of people in your market that are looking to move, and they've got the skills you need for that job, your BD becomes easy as well.
Like, I don't have any BD right now. We have all the clients, so it's all that's fine. So the internal piece would be interesting to kind of sidestep in, but there's they expect quite a lot of you, don't they, in terms of delivery and, you know, what's that?
There's nowhere to hide when you're in house.
Yeah, but even dealing with those people, like even dealing with people who are hiring for in house positions, I haven't done it, but I could imagine picking up those roles would be a bit tricky. Would involve, well, a bit of travel and stuff like that, would it?
I don't think so.
No.
I think if you're, like, well known, got enough following, got enough social proof, like, the people will fit up to you, talk to you. And one of the things that, like, I've noticed and I started, like, this is why I didn't go down that I'm just going to be a contractor route. I'm going to build a business, because I realized that I was talking to the companies where their recruitment is shit, because they're the people that need an in-house recruiter. And I was talking to them and I was like, oh, so like, and then they didn't follow up with me and they didn't like do anything. And I was like, oh, this is so annoying. Like, and I know that I'm going to land in a business where I'm going to have to build everything from scratch because it's all crap what they've got. So actually, like, those companies, they need the consultancy of, in your market, we can hire this number of people. We can give you this number of interviews. This is how you interview. This is how you, you know, all of that kind of that assessment piece. This is how you find the good recruiters. This is how you find the better recruiters. Like, you know how to find great recruiters, right? That's the thing.
Yeah. Look, the internal recruiters aren't hard to find.
The best internal recruiters are often agency recruiters that went in-house.
This is true. So if I could have a few clients to start off on that, yeah, that would be all right.
Just go and find some big recruitment teams, like, and look at someone like one of the internal RectorRecs, like the guy who left Facebook in Dublin to do that.
Yeah, I had a look at his. He's pretty small time, though. No offense to him.
Database. This is the thing, right? If you've got the talent pool and the database and the social proof, then you bolting on that service,
yeah,
it's just easy, right? You're just monetizing your data.
Yeah, I had a look at a few different people. Some people are doing it all right. there seems to be tons of people hiring in Berlin right now for internal recruitment teams.
There are people that are moving as well. You should, oh yeah, I know who you should chat to. I'll make an intro for you.
Okay. All right, Trace. I think we've digressed a little. So, I don't know what the takeaways are from this.
I'll tell you what the takeaways are, right? Okay. Like, if you want to get better at sourcing, you can't scale human interaction. You have to understand that, like, the only way that you're going to get better at sourcing is by having access to better data. So get your data out of LinkedIn into something you own and start to do this at scale, like, and so that you, that data becomes a really valuable source for you. And the only useful data really is the data that's opted in, where you know what the candidate's going to do, what they want to do, what motivates them, and when they're moving.
Okay. All right. And you've explained how they can opt in via what we said on the podcast newsletters last thing.
Yeah. Podcast newsletter. Just ask them, would you be open to like us having a chat about your career and us growing your career?
There you go. All right. That's lots of homework for me now. I'll start with the Gary V thing, and we will catch up again when I want to go down a rabbit hole and figure out why I'm such a rubbish recruiter.
You're a great recruiter, and I love your podcast. I've been listening back to a lot of the old episodes. You've had some really cool conversations on here.
All right, pal. I will catch you later. Have a great day, and let's talk more about that marketing piece in the future.
Awesome.
I enjoy speaking to Tris. It's a nice chance to look under the hood at what happens in commercially orientated internal recruitment teams. So he's kind of had a good view on things from being an agency recruiter, working in-house as well, and now having his own multifaceted agency that seems to do everything from marketing to sourcing to technology. So really good guy to get on and get into the detail. And yeah, really, really enjoyed it. And lots of good stuff in there that you can probably take away and apply to your own business. I think, you know, using the data right and engaging with people on it and having the right funnels in place and making sure that it's all tracked and systemized and automated is absolutely the way forward. And yeah, we just have to kind of improve every day and get our bits together. Like, we're not bad, but we have a long way to go to have everything in place that he's talking about. So really appreciate his time, and I thought it was a great podcast. Let me know if you've enjoyed it, and if any of you want to come on and add anything on the subject or discuss anything. I'm recording every day now, so love to get you on if you're in our industry at all and you've got an opinion. And if you could give us a rating on iTunes, that'd be great. But most importantly, if you're enjoying it, just tell another recruiter. Thanks very much, and happy hunting.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.